You know, Drapes, we got playoffs coming up, and it looks like, as balanced as the West is, the playoffs could be incredible. The play-in could be incredible. And I just think the rest of the year is going to be just hang on tight to something. There's going to be still lots of ups and downs. We'd all like to get off the roller coaster. I think the roller coaster's just getting warmed up.
You think so, huh?
Yeah.
You think it's not going to be smooth sailing the rest of the way?
Do you?
I hope so, but you might be right. You might be right.
Nice enough to join us now with more on that and the NBA at large. He's the host of the Good Word podcast on Yahoo's Ball Don't Lie channel, Good Word with Goodwill. Vince Goodwill with us. Vince, are you ready for this stretch run? Is this going to be one of the craziest stretch runs we've seen in recent NBA history?
Absolutely not. You're asking me if I'm ready. Absolutely not. You know, guys know what it's going to do to my travel schedule. I live in the Midwest. I'm going to hang out on you guys' time. Like, that's going to kill my body. But I think you guys said it in the open. It's going to be really exciting. I think all roads lead through altitude, if you know what I mean. Mm. And everything else is just sort of an appetizer for that, because did you see that fat man last night?
Yes.
Like, if anybody has an answer for that, it might be a nuclear weapon, because I don't think there's anybody stopping him. But as a whole, I think the playoffs will be really fun, really exciting, and I plan on losing a whole lot of sleep.
My guy, Vincent Goodwill Jr., let me back up, because our guy Kevin Gleason Whitey introduced you, and he did it the wrong way, Vinny. You're supposed to introduce him, Vincent Goodwill Jr. Is there anybody named Vincent Goodwill Jr.? You remember that, right, Vinny? We're in Houston at the All-Star break. I think we're at the Kenny Smith party, and he lost his driver's license.
Uh-oh.
And the DJ cuts the music. The whole dance floor is vibing. It might have been some Prince playing or something. I don't know. Everybody's vibing. It was like, Vincent Goodwill Jr. I love you, Vinny, man. That was like 10, 12 years ago, but you ain't ever living that down, bro.
I'm not living that down. And the worst part about it was they were like, the DJ or whoever was like, we have a lost ID here. And I'm thinking, who is this idiot that lost his ID? And they were like, Vincent. I'm like, there's another Vincent here. I wonder how serious that is. And they say Goodwill. And I'm like, damn.
They put the junior on it, too.
You got to put the junior at the end of it. It's like three stages of grief and surprise. All that. So yes, Grace, I really appreciate your wonderful memory.
Hey, you know I wasn't going to let you live that down, man. I always got to bring that up. You talk about this push towards the playoffs, man. Where do you see my Sacramento Kings fitting in? Realistically, you always keep it real. Where do we fit in at?
You fit in somewhere near the play-in, I just think, because you haven't squared away that defense. Like, I had such hopes for Sacramento, because in following the NBA for as long as I've been alive, you go through stages of heartbreak. You get in the playoffs, you make a little noise, and then you come back and you're a little hardened, you're a little more mature, and you're ready to win a playoff round. And I think that was going to be the expectation this year, was to kind of be where Minnesota is and kind of where Oklahoma City is, and being in that 50-win range, and if not at the top of the West, but at least within striking distance there, and home court again in the first round. But you're not sneaking up on anybody, Drapes, and you know when you sneak up on folks, it takes a while. And now they've been able to exploit the defense. I still love Sabonis. I still love Fox. I like what they did with the Lakers. Like, they took the Lakers' early punch and literally went Mike Tyson punch out on them. You ever been knocked out by Mike Tyson in that old video game?
Oh, yeah.
Where literally you get knocked off the screen. That's what they did to the Lakers. But I don't know if they can do that four times in a playoff series, or even let alone one time in a play-in if they wind up being in that 6-7, that 7-8 game, where, you know what I mean? Like, it's to me, it's about the proof of concept of what is your most likely attribute that you can lean on. And to me, yeah, it's the pace and speed of their offense, but also your defense can get exploited, and I have not seen a counter to that just yet.
Yeah, Vincent, that's really interesting when you talk about the expectations, because a lot of fans felt the same way, of course, and that's why we've had a lot of people have been really distraught around here when the team has struggled, because so many fans thought, wait, this is supposed to be 50-plus wins. But putting that aside for a moment, you know, Domas, leading the league in triple-doubles, didn't make the All-Star team. Why do you think it is that he doesn't get the respect that we in Sacramento think he deserves? And I'll just, as an example, they're playing the Lakers this week, Wednesday, and Jay was listening to the Laker telecast, and they didn't believe that he was leading league in triple doubles. The Laker announcers didn't. They're like, no, that's not right. So why do you think it is that he's not getting the attention that we think in Sacramento that he deserves nationally?
I mean, if you listen to the Lakers broadcast on a nightly basis, I don't think those two guys are necessarily aware of things happening outside of L.A., so don't take that too personally. But as a general thing, I think it is the first-round playoff series thing from last year biting you in the butt a little bit from in terms of national attention. Because once you play beyond that first round, there's less attention everywhere else. You're one of four playoff series. You are bona fide. The league looks at you a little bit different. You know what I mean? You're validated in a way, and you're treated like a serious franchise, and by proxy, your players are treated like serious players. I was really surprised that not one Sacramento King made the All-Star team, let alone a guy like Sabonis, who is going to wind up on a lot of MVP ballots, you know, in a couple of weeks. And I don't think he's that different of a player from February 7th to March 7th. I just think it's the lack of validation for the Kings franchise. Yes, it's something that, you know, you guys can crow about and say, hey, look, why do the Lakers have two All-Stars when they're at the bottom of the Western Conference? I don't care that it's LeBron James and Anthony Davis. You take one and you leave the other behind and say, you know, better luck next year, because team success is supposed to mean something.
Mm-hmm. No, you're right about that. Vincent Goodwill joining us here on The Drive, guys. Sactown Sports, 1140. Vinny, you're talking about the Kings sort of being in that play-in mix, you know, maybe a 5 or 6 seed maybe. You know, as we go forward, I look at this team and say, all right, what do they need? We know they need to improve defense, but how do you do that? We know they may need, you know, another big or something. Like, what do you think this team needs to get it to a Western Conference final contender, an NBA Finals contender?
You know, Draves, it's such a weird thing because they've established an identity. Mm-hmm. And it's really, really hard in the NBA to establish an identity if you don't have one. Like, you know, like your fans know exactly what to expect. And coming into a season, players know what to expect. They know what roles to play because this is how we're going to play. We have a style. And I think you kind of have to change up a little bit defensively because the rim protection thing is quite big. It's a glaring thing, but do that mean you slide Domas down a spot to try to get, you know, another athlete? You don't want to change the fabric of your team and change all the things that you've done well to break this, you know, decades-long streak of futility. You have to be really careful about that and to not change, like, the integrity of what you're building. But at the same time, when you have 50-win seasons, when you are in consistently playoff contention, you can't be afraid to make moves with the expectation that you're going to be better. You can't say, man, if we don't do this right, we'll be back to where we were for decades. You can't play scared money like that. Mm-hmm. But I do think rim protection, to me, is a big thing. I do think that, the 3-and-D position, I won't say it's overrated, but I will say that there is a value to that that sort of covers up the lack of rim protection or covers up, you know, Malik Monk and Fox maybe not necessarily being adept at the top of the key and everything else. Like, there's guys that you can play out there that change sort of the complexion of how you play. Look at what Pat Beverly is doing in Milwaukee. And granted, you have Giannis there, you have Brook Lopez there. You already had the bones of a really good defensive team. But they had issues that one guy – and a coach, rather, and Doc Rivers came in there and was able to sort of change up right then and there. And Mike Brown, guys, is a defensive coach at heart. I'm really shocked at this human being that I see before me now, because I remember the days when Mike Brown was coaching like 80 to 75 games and he had LeBron James on his team. So I'm shocked that y'all putting up 80 points and a half.
Yeah, it's not easy for him. Vincent Goodwill with us from the Good Word with Goodwill podcast, basketball podcast. Which team would you say to this point, Vince, has surprised you the most in the NBA, for better or for worse?
I will go with for better, because I've never seen the Minnesota Timberwolves in my lifetime win more than one playoff series at a time. You know what I mean? Like, they've been around since 1989, I believe. And there was one year where they won playoff series and they went to the Western Conference Finals. That was 2004. And it took a MVP Kevin Garnett to do that. So to see them with Karl Anthony Towns, even though he's out now, he's never been viewed as a winning player And then you add Rudy Gobert there, and it didn't work. Look like it was working at all last year, even though they made the playoffs. But this year, they seem to have found something. And then you got that Ant-Man guy, who looks like a direct descendant of Michael Jordan. Somebody test that man's DNA. Did y'all see what he did last night? You know, like those are the things to me, especially in markets that are not the glamour markets. I think the NBA needs those glamour markets to at least feel like they're part of the party and to feel like that they can, with the right personnel moves, the right ownership, the right drafting, that they don't have to just watch a New York team, an L.A. team, the Bay Area, you know, the Golden State Warriors in the playoffs every year. So for Minnesota, who was cold 10 or 11 months out of the damn year, because Drake's been there when it really was cold in the middle of the summer, like, it's good for those guys to be part of the playoff party. Just don't ask me to go there in May and June.
You ain't trying to go there. Hey, man, you know, I'm looking at the Western Conference, and I think, you know, for the Kings, playoff matchup is going to be critical. Like, I don't want to see Denver in the first round. Like, I don't want to see Denver or the Clippers in the first round. What about some of those other teams at the top? OKC, Pelicans, who are in the five seeds right now. What kind of challenge do they present, and could they make a run?
I think the Pelicans are kind of in a different boat than the Kings, but in a similar boat where we don't know if we can trust them. We don't know if we can trust Zion Williamson. We don't know. I think we can trust Brandon Ingram because we know what he can do. But do you guys trust a Zion Williamson operation? Because I've never actually seen it in a postseason where I can depend on him on a night-to-night basis. Like, I'm really surprised that he's been playing games and everything else in good form, right? Like, but that's step one. You know what I mean? But if you're the Kings, you're looking at, A, hopefully you're playing the Lakers during the play-in because you can run them off the floor. And Sabonis has his way with Anthony Davis in a way that I don't think I've ever really seen a guy just own another player time after time. But Sabonis has AD's number and calls it all the time, right? Mm-hmm. So I think if you get past the Lakers in the play-in and you find yourself against Oklahoma City, I think because they're just as skinny and they're not as defensively inclined either. Like, they have Chet Holmgren, but they're going to try to play with you in the track meet. I think it's about styles making fights, and I would much rather not play against Minnesota, assuming Carl Towns is back. I damn sure wouldn't want to play the champions, and I really wouldn't want to play the LA Clippers. So it's about the styles matching up if I'm the Sacramento Kings and giving myself the best chance to be my best version of myself and hoping to slow them down and saying, you know what, maybe we can be better at this track meet than them.
Catching up with Vincent Goodwill from Yahoo's Ball Don't Lie channel, does the Good Word with Goodwill podcast. You mentioned the Ant-Man block, and, you know, we were talking earlier about great blocks, and, of course, you got LeBron on Iguodala 2016, and you got Tayshaun Prince on Reggie Miller. I don't know where last night's play should rank. I just know from having seen it, that's one of the greatest plays I've ever seen. As a regular season game, does that belong somewhere on the list of greatest plays, greatest blocks, greatest something? Because I've never seen anything like that.
I've never seen anything like that either. I don't have the benefit of being able to jump that high to have to duck. Sometimes I dream that he is me, like that sort of thing. Like, I really don't know. But the moments that you talked about before, you were talking about playoff moments, moments in the finals. I think that this will rank as an announcement. This was an announcement by Anthony Edwards to say, I am here. Don't worry about Carl Towns and him not being here. I missed the free throw, but I got back and I made the game-winning play. That's not things that you actually see star players of today doing. Star players don't get their hands dirty.
Star players
miss a free throw and they start complaining to the ref as if the ref didn't call a foul or something like that. So for him to embrace going on the other side of the floor and stopping that play, giving very little care to where his body was going to land, I think it was an announcement. It was a declaration of, hey, guys, we're going to be just fine because I'm going to lead us.
Vincent Goodwill joining us here to Drive Guys, Sacktown Sports 1140. Vinny, one of the things I like about you and appreciate you is you're an individual, man. You don't worship at the altar of Michael Jordan like so many other people do out here. You know, we had Stacey King on last week. We had, you know, Bill Winnington on, you know.
Well, he served at the church.
Right, he served at it. Exactly. I'm looking at LeBron James 40,000 points, top four in assist as well. To me, I'm taking LeBron. If I had to draft a team and I'm starting a franchise, I'm taking LeBron over Jordan.
I mean, good for you, right?
Come on, bro. Come on. And don't say Isaiah Thomas. Don't say you taking Isaiah. I know you.
No. I am a child of Detroit. I am a child of the Bad Boys, but I am not intellectually dishonest. You know what I mean? Like someone last year asked me on Twitter, what would it take for you to admit that LeBron is better than Michael Jordan? And my answer was simple. Become a better basketball player. And at this age of his life, I don't think he's going to become a better – like, think about it.
Come on.
I'm not trying to be funny about it, but the accumulation of stats, I get it. It looks good. You're going to, you know, place a lot of records out of reach. But when you think of the best of LeBron James, you're thinking of the guy in Cleveland on the back end of his first stint there and the guy in Miami.
Miami that's LeBron.
That's the guy that I am judging against Michael Jordan. And I will simply say this. Michael Jordan lost playoff games, and he lost playoff series. We've never seen that man melt down. Not once, let alone twice. And LeBron melted down twice. Drake, you were there in Boston when he melted down in 2010. The greatest stat I will tell you that illustrates this for me is this. As I stated before, I am a child of the Bad Boys. I'm a Detroit Pistons fan from that era, okay? The Pistons lost a total of two playoff games in 1989 and 1990 in series where they did not play Michael Jordan. A grand total of two, right? In six playoff series, they lost two games. That's finals, first round, all of that, right? They lost five to Michael Jordan. That's tough, man. That's a tough argument to make. As much as I don't like the dude, and I am not a devotee, no matter what my closet might say, you know what I mean? Like, I'm not a Jordan devotee, but I've never seen anybody greater or better or more of a driver of winning than that dude.
Wow. Hey, Vincent, what do you make of this? And I apologize, I forget the name of the author. You may know him. You may know the book. Somebody just wrote a book recently that said that that period that you were just talking about, late 80s, early 90s, was the best ever, the best era ever for NBA basketball because you had so many great teams either coming to the fore, like the Bulls were just starting to become a great team. You had the Pistons were a great team. You had the Lakers, and you had the Celtics that were starting to fade. Do you believe that? You mentioned you're a child of that era. Do you think you can make the case that that was the greatest era of NBA basketball ever?
Absolutely. I'm looking at the book now. It's called When the Game Was War.
Thank you.
By Rich Cohen.
Thank you. Okay. Thank you.
I do believe that. And that's, you know, of course, there were fewer teams back then, mind you, right?
Yeah.
So the talent wasn't as diluted as it will become in the mid-90s when Jordan's 96 Bulls won 72 games because they could beat up on Toronto and Vancouver and Minnesota and Orlando, those teams.
Right.
That type of thing. But the quality, not just the quality of it, guys, but the fact that you had to play teams in your division six times a year. Do you know how much contempt that created? Do you know how much familiarity that created? Because you got to see, not necessarily that free agency didn't exist and free agency isn't a good or great thing, but you got to associate teams with their cities and you got to watch teams grow up, rise and fade. And there was a sort of natural order, I believe. So yeah, as a Detroit fan, there's the heartbreaks of, you know, Isaiah throwing the pass to Bird and the phantom foul and everything else. But, man, it was so compelling, and the characters were so authentic. They weren't like these, lack of a better phrase, these dudes are boring now. All we get is their Instagram. The only time these dudes say do anything compelling is when their tweets get leaked or something like that. They're not actually characters. They're just dudes who are on billboards now, and they're not very interesting. Don't you find these dudes boring now?
You're right, man. Not much personality out there. I give you that, man. I even though your MJ take is totally off base, I give you that. Let me ask you one question, Vinny. One question. When you come into Sacramento for a game, and don't say playoffs, don't be like Mark Stein all of a sudden want to show up in the playoffs because your credential is going to get revoked. I need you to come to a regular season game.
And will you come on our show again when you do?
Can I come to a play-in game?
We ain't going to be there. You're going to have to go to Golden State for that. You're going to have to go to San Francisco for that, big fella.
Can I meet you in the middle for that, for the play-in game?
Yeah. Hey, Sacramento has come up, bro.
He lives in Dallas. I live in Detroit. Those are two different D's. You know what I mean?
Bro, Sacramento has come up, man, since the last time you've been here. I got some spots for you.
Drace, I'm afraid of what spot you might get me into. I'm afraid if I won't be able to board my flight when I leave there. Thank you.
It'll be a good time and a story, though. I tell you that. You know that.
Thank you, Vincent.
It's always a story with you, Drace.
We appreciate your time very much. Hope to talk to you again soon. Thank you, Vincent.
I appreciate you guys.
All right, baby.
Yeah, Vincent Goodwill, host Goodwill. Excuse me, the Good Word with Goodwill podcast on Yahoo. When we come right back. Hey, are the Kings relying less on the three ball these days? Ooh. Next with the Drive Guys.
To me, I'm taking LeBron. If I had to draft a team and I'm starting a franchise, I'm taking LeBron over Jordan.
I mean, good for you, right?
That's Vincent Goodwill from the Good Word with Goodwill podcast on the Ball Don't Lie channel, Yahoo. I thought he handled that very well. He handled your assault very, very well.
You know what? And I thought, because he's a diehard Pistons fan.
Yeah.
Like Isaiah Thomas, Bad Boys, those are his guys. And so I thought I was teeing him up for an easy one there because I knew coming up he hated Jordan. But with him even saying it's Michael Jordan, like I value his opinion. No offense, Stacey King and Bill Winnington. You played with Michael Jordan. Michael won you rings, championships. Yeah, yeah. Then he doesn't have a dog in the fight. And so his word carries some weight.
Before we get back to the Kings, I got to share the story here. And this is not a pleasant story, but it's one of the most incredible things I've ever seen. You remember that game that the Chiefs played when it was like -4?
Yeah, yeah.
Have you heard the story?
Yes, I heard this one.
Some of the people who attended that game in January had to undergo amputations? According to a Missouri hospital. It was that cold out there? Yeah.
What, like from frostbite or something, and they had to?
Research Medical Center did not provide exact numbers, according to ESPN. In a statement, they said some of the 12 people who had to undergo amputations after the cold snap had been at the game, mostly fingers and toes. More surgeries are expected over the next 2 to 4 weeks as injuries evolve. And let's see. University of Kansas Hospital said it also treated frostbite victims after the game, but didn't report any amputations. Ah,
that's tough, man.
Wow.
That is, and so injuries are still being treated and all that. Like it's still ongoing.
Apparently, injuries are evolving. Evolving. So I guess some of that, you know, maybe it's a matter of are you going to heal or not?
Right.
Well,
okay.
Or does it become necrotic? Well, we'll see. Wow.
Dang.
Wind gust made for a wind chill of -27. Okay, fan's gonna fan.
Yeah, that I don't know, man. That's not a good story. I mean, it's like
I know it's just. And I apologize.
Is it worth it? Like,
I'd never heard anything like that.
But
in
you
my
don't
life.
Think like, all right, it's cold. It's record cold. Just layer up, bundle up, wear your mittens and everything. You don't think you're gonna lose a limb going to a football game, right?
That's the game where. Mahomes' helmet broke. Remember, his helmet broke.
Yes, yes.
And they said us because it was
when
so
he
cold.
Dove. It was on the run there. Yeah,
wow. That's maybe you just don't play if it gets
what's
you
the
know.
Cutoff 10 degree. I don't know, but that is a wild story.
Yeah,
and, who was it against? It was Kansas City. Was it Baltimore? No, Buffalo.
It was Houston, right? Was it
Houston? Yeah,
that game.
Yeah.
No, wasn't that the Miami game?
Oh, Miami. Yeah, it was. You're right. Yeah, it was the Miami game.
Yeah.
Ugh. No wonder Miami lost that game. Like, you play an 8-9 games in Miami, and they got to go to.
Yeah. Have you heard what happens in Florida when it gets really cold? Not that cold, but when it really gets freezing, like the iguanas freeze up. And then.
Get out.
Like, yeah. And then I read, like, somebody. Like, they pick them up and had them in their car, and they're driving away, and then they had the heater on, and then the iguanas start defrosting
like,
and start crawling
coming
out.
To life. Huh?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. That's crazy.
Yeah. So all the best to those Chiefs fans who are dealing with the complications from fanning in that bitter, bitter, bitter cold. How about this, Kyle Draper? You know, we've been talking a lot this week about whether the Kings are too reliant on the three ball. I was checking something here. I think they're shooting fewer threes. Now, maybe it's just small sample size, but you tell me, the Kings for the year, They're taking 39.1 threes. And I think you've said the target is 40?
Yeah, 40 to 45. I mean, they'll say there's no, you know, actual number. Just, you know, get them up, get good looks. But I think 40 to 45.
The last 10 games, they're averaging 33.
Wow.
Which would rank, you know, for if they had done that the whole year, they'd be 22nd.
I was about to say,
that's
pretty low. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and I, like I said, maybe it's just matchups or something, but they've had, I think they even had in the last 10 games, they had one game where they didn't even get up 30.
What's their record in the last, is it 10? I think 6-4. I think they might be, they was 5-5 going into yesterday's
game. You're right,
game.
6-4.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So I'm not saying it's a problem or anything. I'm just wondering,
is there
shift
a shift
going
in
on?
Philosophy, right?
Is it because, you know, Herter hasn't been playing as much? And he takes threes. Keegan, as we just said, he hasn't been taking as many shots. I think maybe even De'Aaron has taken a little fewer.
Yeah.
And he's still taking them, but, you know, I don't know. It's an interesting thing to me. If that's like by design, that's really interesting. But it may just be a matter of, we're in a stretch here where, for whatever reason, we're not taking many. But 33, an average over 10, to me, that's worth taking a look at.
That is worth taking a look at. And I think part of that is, you know, when we look at De'Aaron Fox's numbers, and this is something I brought up recently, earlier today, when you look at his recent play, he's getting to the basket and getting into the paint, I feel like, a lot more. And I'm going to look at, I just pulled up 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. I'm looking at his last 10 games or so and his numbers over the last 10 games. 7 threes taken, 6, 7, 5, 4, 6, 7. Remember, he was at 8 or 9 earlier in the season when he was making them all, you know, in October, November, and December. And so I think he's being more judicious.
Uh-huh.
Like, he's taken double-digit threes once in the last 13 games, I think it was. There was a stretch there, I think it was in December, where he took 11 15, 16, 8, and 10 in a five-game stretch.
Right,
like, he was getting them up. And so I think he's more being more judicious with his threes and being more selective with his threes
and
as
that's
well.
Affecting it. Yeah, it's either because of whatever the injury was or, you know, his percentages are normalizing or some combination. But here's the last 10 games for the Kings, how many threes they've taken. Remember, this is a team averaging about 40. Yeah. 32, 31, 37, 29, 35, 32, 37, 33, 33, 31.
Interesting.
Yeah, and I thought so.
Yeah, that is interesting. And I don't want to just say, you know, De'Aaron's not taking as many. I would look at pace. How many shots total are they getting up?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what about the three-point percentage in terms of position, percentage of shots taken are threes?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know what it is, but
I think it's great what you mentioned that they're – De'Aaron and Monk last couple of games have really been dominating in the paint.
Right,
the
right. Yeah. They've been getting downhill
especially
a lot more.
Lakers, yeah.
And, I mean, we've heard fans and we've said it too sometimes. Sometimes, hey, take it to the paint,
yes,
you know. Don't
yes.
just settle for the three. And maybe they're taking that, you know, to heart. And is that a recipe for wins, do you think? That's the question. Like, what's the magic number? What's the balance you want to see from three-pointers to paint touches or whatever?
Mm-hmm.
That's the question.
Yeah. So just something to keep an eye on going forward. Yeah, but I think De'Aaron has a lot to do with it. And what did he take last night? Seven?
Seven. Yeah, he was 1 for 7 last night.
He, tell me if I'm wrong, but it's pretty clear to me that since the All-Star break, he has made some adjustments. Since he got hurt, he's made some adjustments. For the most part, I think he's taken fewer shots. Last night, he took a lot of shots. But he is getting into the paint more, and he's relying less on the three. It looks to me like whatever it is, he has made some adjustments, and he's figured out how to deal with it now, and he's playing very well.
Yeah, he is, and he just looks better, right?
Yeah, like, yeah.
And I can't remember the last time we've seen him, you know, reach for the shoulder or anything, or it looks, you know, there was a stretch there, like a 2-week stretch where it felt like every game, every time he got hit there was, you know, he was holding it. And I think when you look at De'Aaron also too, Whitey, and the numbers indicate this from a season ago, like, and even the first year Domas came here, after the All-Star break, he usually ramps up a little bit.
Yeah, you mentioned that, yeah.
Yeah, he usually increases his production, and that's what I'm seeing from him right now.
Mm-hmm. All right, when we come back here, one of those bad losses that the Kings just suffered, doesn't look quite as bad today. Next with the Drive Guys on Sactown Sports.
Yeah.
Speaking of King songs, listen, if you get a chance, I don't think we could play it on the radio. There's, you know, legal issues. But check out my Doma song on Twitter if you get a chance.
I saw you posted something, man. Yeah, I was
Like I said, I don't think we could play it.
Why not?
Well, I don't think there's, you know, rights and all that. Seriously, you know, you, like if you played it, I don't think YouTube would be able to play it. Like they wouldn't be able to show that part. Seriously, there's all kinds of legal rights issues. But it's short, and if you get a chance, you might want to check it out. Yeah. And thanks to Deuce and Moog, kind of gave it the thumbs up. Appreciate that.
Oh, did it? So, yeah. Deuce and Moog's seal of approval?
Yeah, yeah, definitely. So
right. Also, too, fellas, shouts out to all the people who are making Sacramento Kings songs. Like, you know, I've been playing. I try to get them through our, show.
I hear you.
Throughout the week or whatever. And I've come across numerous ones now. Like
I noticed. It's like
there's easy 10, 15 of them now. So
What was that one you just played?
That
right
one
there?
Was, it's called Sacramento Kings, and a young lady is Jhonae Lasha, or Lashay. It's one of them. I don't know her, but
I looked that up. That was smooth.
Jhonae Lasha or Lashay. Yeah. So.
What's the name of the cut again?
It's called Sacramento Kings.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hey,
so I would imagine it's called Lashay, but.
We need to get this guy to do one, don't we? We need to get Drapes to do some kind of
musical thing.
We might have to get him in the studio somewhere.
I need a ghostwriter or something like that.
We got that plenty of
somebody to pin it for me. Your boy would get down, drop some bars. I could do that. I could do that. Oh man, you guys! I am not musically inclined. That's the one thing. I'm great at everything else, Whitey, but I can't do that. That's the one thing I can't.
Everyone says that, but everyone is deep down. Everybody's, I can't,
You know, I brought this up to Jay last year, hip-hop karaoke. Where's that, big dog? I need a hip-hop karaoke
bar. You got two jobs right now, and you're a parent. your son just started freshman basketball. You at Vista doing play-by-play.
Yeah.
Once the season is over, golf,
I know. His son's playing golf.
Come on, man. Once the summer comes, I have the Drive Guys are going to get together quite a bit. Like, we still got to show Drapes the city, and I know, Whitey, you aren't from here, but we even got to get down to the Valley Joe. You know, there's some things that we need to touch to.
Yeah, we should do, once a week, do a different restaurant for lunch or something, or dinner after a show, spotlight them. You know, the Drive Guys, we in the building.
Do one of the different golf courses.
Play them. Let's do that. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
All right, dude. We'll do
Trust me, I'm not – I do work a lot. I get that, and I got the kids. But outside of that, I don't have anything going on. I'm by myself most of the time.
What are you doing Monday? Oh, you're not coming to work because you're too stressed. Right?
Why are you saying that? Why are you spitting out my business?
Because you're busy.
I need a mental health day, big fella.
I
need a mental health day. My son's golfing. He's got a golf tournament.
This weekend?
Monday.
Oh, Monday.
No Kings game. So, Jay, you might be on the ones and twos tomorrow, big fella. Yeah. I need a day, I think.
I know, and I'm just pointing that out because you say, I'm not that busy. You're pretty busy.
I guess.
You are busy, man.
I guess.
And in a good way.
In a good way, right. We're out here hustling. But I'm not the only one. Yeah. You got family.
For sure.
Whitey holding down the show. Like, we all busy. You know, I'm not looking for no sympathy or nothing like that. But I do need a day. I need a day.
Mm-hmm.
I need a day.
We got post-April or post-May, hopefully post-May, you know, as the NBA takes it all the way to June.
Right.
But depending on what the Kings do in the postseason, man, we're going to turn it up a little bit on the Drive, guys, and mix and mingle. And like I said, Drapes, we haven't been able to showcase the city to you anyway.
Yeah, I need to get out.
And you're way out in Folsom anyway, so we got to bring you back towards the city.
No, I'm trying to work my way. I started Folsom and, you know, then get to Rancho and Carmine and just keep coming down, you know?
Good.
City of trees.
City of trees, baby.
Yeah. You know what? I will say, I do miss, when I first moved here, they put me up in West Sac, right across the Tower Bridge, right across. There's some apartments. And then I moved to Midtown for a month.
Ooh.
I miss just being able to walk outside and feel the vibe of the city. The weather's nice and everything. Folsom's nice. It's great. But it's a trip to get down into the city. I miss that, man.
Mm-hmm. Very unique character, Midtown.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Unique flavor.
Good way to put that. I like how you did that.
Unique. Yeah.
We have been talking a lot all season about this loss, that loss. Oh, last night, almost a bad loss for the Kings. Pulled it out. Well, the loss to the Bulls all of a sudden, Drapes, doesn't look as bad, does it? Because since the Bulls came in here and beat the Kings, they then went to Utah, beat the Jazz, then they went to San Francisco last night, and they beat the Warriors. So they've won three in a row on the road.
They're a good team, man. Not good, but they're talented. Like, they're an underachieving team, if you ask me, and they routinely underachieve, but no. So it's not as embarrassing to lose to you just lost to DeMar DeRozan. Is that really embarrassing? Kobe White's
only because you had
player,
the big lead.
Because you had the big lead, exactly. Yeah, but I put that loss in a different category than Charlotte, Detroit, you know, those Portland, those kind of losses. Mm-hmm. Like Chicago, we went into that game thinking, Bulls, you know, they could get you. You know, and if DeRozan had what, 33? Vucevic last night had 34. Like, that was a massive win for them.
And the Warriors lose Steph, sprained ankle. We haven't seen, at least I haven't seen, how bad it is. And obviously you don't wish for anybody. Oh, you got it?
Nah. Oh, okay. I just discovered a stat, and it's totally against what we're talking about right now. It's a different topic,
right.
But I thought it was something that needed to be pointed out because we were just talking about the Kings and the number of threes they shoot, right?
Yes.
And I wanted to do the research here. Hold on, I got it. Over their last 10 games, like you were talking about the shot attempts.
They're 33 threes a game.
Yeah, exactly. So for the season I'm talking about here, the Sacramento Kings were... Hold on, let me go back here, Whitey. This is great radio. I understand it's great radio. They were, I think, seventh in the NBA in percentage of field goal attempted three-pointers.
Okay.
Over the last 10 games, they're 28th in the NBA
there
in percentage of attempts being threes. Mm-hmm. So they have really cut their threes back over the last 10
that's
games.
Not that's not just a statistical fluke, is it?
No, that's not.
Yeah, that's like somebody said, hey, did you guys hear what the drive guys have been saying about we're relying on too many threes? We're going to have to do something about it, right? That's what Mike Brown said to the team.
Yeah, and what's interesting about this, as I dig deeper into these numbers right here, they rank number one in percentage of points in the paint over the last 10 games. So they're making a more concerted effort, it sounds like, to get to the paint.
Right, because the numbers say they're more efficient that way.
Right.
You just continue to chuck threes when they're not going in. Why take so many? We got to find a more efficient way to score.
Wow, that's pretty – that's going against the NBA right now.
It is,
you know,
isn't
like
it?
The style of the NBA. Yes, it's very interesting – that this team is sort of embraced more. But I'm all for it, though. I think this team...
This is like breaking news, by the way, because we discovered this.
Right. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. That's why I had to raise my hand. I'm like, oh, snap. It's not that they're, you know, just taking fewer three. Like, they have drastically... They're 28th in the NBA in 3 points attempted, percentage of shots being threes over the last 10 games.
Yeah, and they were, what, you said seventh?
Yeah, I think there was seventh, the number was.
It appears to be a concerted effort.
Yes.
Yeah, to balance it out a little bit.
All right.
By the way, speaking of the Bulls, people were really impressed here with Vincent Goodwill.
Yes.
And Megadeth Knight says, I gave Vincent a follow on Twitter. I was so impressed. And they loved his take on the Bulls and on Michael Jordan. Best MJ take ever. Jordan never melted down.
Yeah,
he just nailed it. MJ was mentally superior to LeBron. So people were impressed, by the way. I guess he won that debate with you over LeBron.
Yeah, and that's the melting down one is something I can't answer back. You know, I don't have a comeback only to say Jordan went to college for 3 years. Jordan, you know, lived in... It's a different game. Like, LeBron's always been in the spotlight from day one since he entered the league. Jordan was great, no doubt about it. People knew who he was. But when you miss the playoffs like he did his first few years, you know, other than the series where he scored 63 against the Celtics, like, he was allowed to play through it. I feel like LeBron has been under a microscope since day one. And considering all the pressure, all the accolades and expectations, LeBron is... done a hell of a job. Like, could Jordan have succeeded with the microscope on him the way LeBron is?
I don't know, but the way I look at it, future generations are going to look at the mountain of statistics in favor of LeBron, and I think there's going to come a time down the road when it'll be impossible to say anybody was better than LeBron.
Right.
Just because of the massive statistical accomplishments?
You know, I say in terms of statistics, the only areas Jordan has him beat, the 6-0 in the finals, all defense, and the 6 MVPs. Mm-hmm. That's that. But points, rebounds, assists, shooting percentage, Whitey. He was a better shooter than Michael Jordan. I'm just going by the numbers. His field goal percentage is better than Michael Jordan's. His three-point percentage better than Michael Jordan's. To me, LeBron's a complete player.
You know, the one year Michael's three-point shooting went way up, it was the year they moved the line in.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Wasn't his fault.
Right, right. He took advantage, yeah.
You can look it up. Oh, when we come back, the Kings have cleaned up one area that really needed cleaning up. Drive Guys on Sacktown Sports.